guys, and welcome back to Spoilers, your weekly movie podcast where we spoil your childhood. Today, we'll be watching 1988's Over the Top, directed by Menahem Golan, starring Sylvester Stallone, Robert Loggia, David Mendenhall, and a cast of other shitty 80s actors.
Sorry, I turned in a little early. I just didn't know it was made in 88.
Yeah.
I was born
in 87.
You were born somewhere in the late 80s.
Okay.
You could tell it's an 80s movie.
I have this some, is your show, man.
I have some math that I did based on that, and my math might be off now if it was 87. All right.
Okay.
A lot of people judge the time and age difference instead of counting years. They count like, oh, is this old and this happened? This is when I graduated.
Right. I did something like that. Yeah. We'll get to it.
Okay.
So like I said, we're going to be watching Over the Top, written by Sly Stallone, starring Sly Stallone. And
okay, for those people who don't know what Sly means...
I will Sly to tell you what's going on.
My name is Hollywood. I'm joined by Maestro. Say hello.
Hello.
Adam.
Yo.
And Jester.
What's up?
So we'll be discussing this classic finger quote classic.
You call this classic?
Hey, it is. I've seen this movie before.
It's cheesy nostalgia. That's what it is.
Thank you very much. That's
old,
a very good paper.
Old does not equal classic.
That's true.
Hey.
Adam. Why don't you just give the audience just a brief description? What is Over the Top all about?
Oh, no.
Okay. Over the Top.
Put the phone down.
I have notes for later, but as far as the storyline goes.
Was it Over the Top?
It was Over the Top, for sure. But what it's about is a father, Sly, is getting to know his son because his mother is falling ill and apparently in her last days. So in an attempt to have the son meet his actual dad, he picks him up from his graduation or some sort of
military academy.
And they get to try to know each other, and in just an attempt to get to know the father, because once the mother's gone, the father will take over. And the father is some sort of degenerate that never showed up. He was gone for the 12 years of the kid's life. Meanwhile, the mother's father wants to take the son to be his own in custody. And so there's a battle between Sly and the old crazy dude, looks like Columbo.
And Columbo with a very, very big tan.
Columbo with straight-facing eyes. And that's pretty much the battle is between them to who gets custody of the son. Meanwhile, Sly Stallone is trying to make a better life for himself by entering an arm wrestling competition to win a better truck than he has and money to start his own life.
Very good. So, guys.
Sounds amazing, right?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Mad.
Over the Top. Let's just jump right in. What do you want to talk
about? I could not stop laughing just listening to your synopsis about this movie.
Okay.
Because as you're saying this, it clicks in my head. It's like the dad has been gone for 12 years. Well, I mean, it sounds good when you read it on paper, but then when you explain it the way you did, it's like,
yeah,
so the mom's son's dad is coming back, but her dad is like, no, and the son's like, wah.
That's what I want to talk about. Yeah.
Oh,
what?
Jester, go. I know where you're going with this.
Okay, Maestro, I'm sorry. I know you
say it with some feeling.
You didn't see all the movie, okay? But this kid. All right. Oh my God, I don't even know how to start with this.
12-year-old kid.
I try to take things from a very practical and non-biased perspective.
But this is an 80s little thing.
I know. That's the thing. Is I was like, this is what they're going for in the 80s, and this is how it's perceived now. Because if this kid graduated from a military academy, he is the whiniest person in history of military academies. Because this kid does not stop crying in the entire movie.
And he has no discipline.
Well, what is up with that?
That's the weird
thing. You rock, do your prince.
One thing I noticed. First of all, this guy, the guy that played the character, at the time, he was a 16-year-old playing a 12-year-old.
Uh-huh.
He was 16?
I did the math. That's the math I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
His birthday.
He looked like he was 9.
Yeah, he was a 16-year-old playing a 12-year-old. Now, this 12-year-old goes from being extremely precarious to be like, oh, I'm so fit and proper, making these weird facial expressions every time he talks like he's an adult. It didn't make sense. His like facial, like, with stuff that he did with his face. It was like, I'm too old.
Do that face. Do that again?
No, it's not gonna happen again. And then at one point he goes to becoming a brat, and then he goes back to being this prep school dude, and then goes back, and then he becomes a trucker.
It's like,
what kind of school was he going to? They instilled temporary morals. They can just get washed away depending on what company you're in.
That's what I mean, though. The
mascot
idea
of the school was a chameleon, is what I'm thinking. Because wherever he comes around, that's what he became.
And aren't people taught discipline in military academies?
Yeah.
This fucking kid ran off.
No.
He got ran over.
Yes, that was the very first part. This guy's all like, proper.
You want to pick this apart? Let's do it the right way. Okay, let's start at the beginning. So at the very beginning, we know what's going on.
If it went to the very beginning.
Stop it. Stop. Just no, no. You calm the fuck down, okay? We're going to skip like half of your notes. Not now, but we're going to have to like.
During the opening scene, the opening scene before any dialogue was spoken, I already had a problem with the movie. It shows Stallone. He's washing his car. He's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. His truck. He's polishing the eagle decal.
Yes.
He's arm rolling his tires.
And it's not an eagle. It's a hawk.
It's a hawk. All right. Great.
His name is fucking Hawk.
Great. That's how little I cared about what the fuck that was. He's polishing. He's showing so much attention to this shitty car. And to
it's
me,
pride.
Yes, but that hit that level of
shitty carness.
No, the dedication that he has, the pride for his craft, he should be farther along in his career to not have that shitty car. Based on his personality
what
traits.
What career does he have?
He's a truck driver.
Driving
his truck. He hauls stuff across the country.
Yeah, but this, the level of discipline that he had to take care of his car, that should give a personality
actually,
trait.
Actually, if the first time you see the truck, yeah. You realize that the only thing he takes care of is that fucking hawk.
Right, and then arm hauls the tires. The point is... It was too much.
Did he?
Yes, he armored all the tires.
Oh no, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
my question about this is why does this truck have to have such meaning on it? I mean,
because that's him. That's his life. He's a
shitty truck with a big like, bird ranger, on the top.
He's a vagabond. He doesn't have a home.
Right.
He's a truck driver. That's his craft. It's his trade. He drives everywhere. That's why he needed to get away. He needed to drive away.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, "Why did you leave?" He's like, "Oh, my mistake.
I'm gonna stay.
Made a mistake. He made a mistake.
That was also very upsetting because they never explained what the mistake is.
Oh yeah,
that's shitty.
The mistake is leaving.
Yes, but why? Did he leave?
I don't know.
Was it drugs? Was it because he was too focused on his arms?
Yeah.
Did he leave to compete in another arm wrestling tournament? Right. Like they don't touch on that at all, and I hated that. They should have at least mentioned something, some type of background exposition. Yeah. Where like, hey, Dad, remember that time you left because you blah
and never came back?
Oh yeah, sorry about that, son. And then. Right there.
That would have been really important to the story too.
Because
you could have said, "Remember that time where you blanked?" That could have been like hit mommy when I was watching, or like,
"Oh, that
slipped on milk in the kitchen and we all laughed at you." It could have been two totally different things.
I'd like that theory of hitting the mom.
That seems almost
plausible.
She calls him. She wouldn't call him.
Oh,
plus they call it to the babe, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
For her to be gone for 12 years and still have this relationship of like, "Hey, sweetheart, babe, what's going on, honey?" Like, all right, you've been gone for 12 years, but you're still like in love with this dude, but you don't want him to see a son.
We'll learn that later.
But it's not his son.
Wait, I have one quick question though.
You didn't see this.
I have one quick question. I want your take on it. If she comes from money, why the fuck did she marry a truck driver? Like, I get the dad hates him. But she comes from a world of wealth.
Right.
Why did she marry a truck driver?
Bad boy.
Is it to be
it's a bad boy idea?
Is it truck driver? A bad.
Well,
it's I don't know. I couldn't say I know.
I think I do.
What, to stick it to her father?
Yes. To be a rebel?
She hates her father. She hates her father. Why else would she, instead of being with this rich father that can take care of her son, no, send him to a truck driver instead. I want him to be with a truck driver. No, it's like, fuck you, Dad. You're not having this kid. I'm having somebody else that doesn't even know the kid.
That would make sense because, you know, when her father, the dying mom's father, asks, like why does he have to go out there? And she asks and she tells him too. It's like, he needs to know his dad. He needs to know this. And at the same time, you're looking at him, you're like, he needs to know his dad. Okay. He needs to know this. But, you know, she could have like gone along and be like, this is your dad.
That's
goodbye.
That's another thing it was unclear to me in the movie that there was around the same time where he was not explaining why he left, there was a thing about, he sent a lot of letters to his son, mm-hmm. which the son never got apparently.
And the son was like, what?
Because of the grandpa.
So it was the grandpa that was hiding him, or was it the mom that was hiding him?
It's implied, isn't it?
No. We'll get into that. We can go along the storyline.
Oh, okay.
But no.
Yeah, well, that was...
Okay, you got that. Okay.
All right.
So they end up saying, you know what, we got to get you. Didn't they have to go across country and like...
They're going to California.
From where were they? They were somewhere in the east.
I thought they were in
the military academy.
Well, they wind up in L.A. and then they go to Vegas. But I think they're somewhere in the Midwest. I think.
Did they ever touch on that?
They didn't say where they were. They just said, oh, we'll be in California in 2 days.
Okay.
And I love how you can amend a fucking 10-year absence in one fucking day. In one day. Oh, I love you, Dad. Hey, you're the best dad ever.
I enjoyed the talking montage.
So they did have a montage. Excellent.
Yes, it was in there.
It was a montage.
It was only after a series of events. But
nothing says 80s like a montage.
Montage. Right.
Gonna do a montage to a shitty 80s song. Montage. Gonna do a montage. Yeah.
Well, after they start driving, they go through a series of adventures, which lasts less than 24 hours, which I think you have this in your notes, but
if I recall correctly,
they stop at a, no, I'm sorry. The kid tries to escape and the dad rips his jacket. Okay, that's the first stop sign right there.
And he keeps wearing the jacket, by the way.
Yeah.
He wears an arbalist jacket.
He doesn't take it off. Because I think that was the military thing, but I think they would have taken it off if it was damaged. Kind of like, you don't put up an American flag if it's damaged.
But he's not fully trained if he's being a little brat.
But you wouldn't keep the fucking jacket on.
It's the first time my daddy touched me. What? Oh, no.
But he doesn't like his dad.
Oh, he might be right.
So he was nostalgic about having a ripped jacket?
Maybe. I don't know. No. But he rips off his left sleeve, which, ironically enough, later Stone's like, muh, muh, and rips off the right sleeve instead of maybe getting a new jacket.
And now your name is Kurt Russell.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the kid was trying to look like his dad. And then from there, right after that, he teaches him how to drive.
They stop in a diner.
Oh, sorry. No, that's after. That's after.
No. No, they stop at a diner first to eat. And the kid's being all crazy about, like, oh, you shouldn't eat that food. It's bad for
you. It's 1,000 calories.
Yeah. I'm like, your dad's a fucking bodybuilder. Oh, yeah. He needs that many calories,
kid. The average calories is, shut the fuck up.
Right.
And then the average calories.
Then the dad gets challenged to an arm wrestling
thing. That's where the story gets intriguing. Okay. Yes. You have to admit, there's a small bit of intrigue when it comes to that.
I will not admit any of this.
Okay, because they're eating, and he's like, well, dad, you're freaking going to die. And he's like, whatever, eat your fucking food, son. And then someone walks up and he says, paps on the back, big white guy, right?
Oh, this...
Hey, you hawk? Hey, are you hawk? $1,000. And he turns to his son.
That's actual dialogue, by the way. Yeah. That's actual dialogue that he's quoting.
The whole movie subtitle. And he turns around and goes, he talks to his son. And he goes, go ahead. And so they walk off and they're about to arm wrestle and this big guy. And they're like, yeah, everyone's cheering. The son's just watching. And first thing that goes through my mind is, what the fuck, dude? You just met your son a day ago.
Right.
And now you're leaving him alone in a trucker bar while you're arm wrestling with this big, huge, fat guy.
Bull.
We don't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he walks up and he goes, what does he say? It was like something along the lines of, it's like,
what are you doing with that low-life guy there?
That's my dad.
That's my dad. It was like something about bad luck or something. I don't know. I forget what he says exactly. But
First thing, what are you doing with that low-life? You fucking run.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, okay, waitress.
Stranger danger.
And I was like, okay, so then he wins the arm wrestling contest and the kid's watching, he's like, I'm proud, whatever. And then that's when he starts learning how to arm wrestle.
The son calls him a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
He says, You're a hustler, that dude.
That's right.
So you're a low life gambler is what that was his attitude at the time. And then they get behind the wheel and he's like, oh no, he let me drive, that's awesome. I'm 12 years old, driving a big rig, hauling goods.
No, that's right. He was hauling goods.
And not only that, a dune buggy is a perfect transition to a fucking 18-wheeler. That's a perfect transition.
There's the photo.
That is the best transition.
Right. So we got a picture here. We'll put it on the website. This is when he wins the $1,000 bet at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah, it just looks like Stallone is very, very interested in what's going on, or there's a spider in the other guy's hand. And the other guy is either being bit by the spider, or he's looking up at Superman in the sky. Yeah. The dude with the red hat is the most intense person in there.
He's like, I'm the only one paying attention to what's going on right now.
He loves Toyota.
There was something I want to bring up, though. I'm jumping a little far ahead, but it's established here in this first arm wrestling match.
What, the product placement with Toyota?
No, besides that, the notion of the crazy arm over the top. The actual moving the thumb part. Would you consider that cheating of any kind?
I was gonna ask
because
about that.
If over the top works every single fucking time, why are you just letting the guy like give him a chance like and then you do the over the top? Because I noticed when he does the over the top, the opponent's like it looks like they're in pain like, and then gah.
Well, haven't you seen all the movies like in the 80s? Whenever something changes from like the typical norm, their eyes get all wide and beady, and they're like it's all slow motion about how they're about to just like lose everything they came to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I know exactly what you're talking about, because that actually happens.
There's a lot of that in this movie as well.
Yeah.
I figure as much as an 80s movie.
Maybe, perhaps. I don't know why I'm trying to justify this shit, but I think that maybe he...
He is the first one
to pioneer the over-the-top move.
Oh, okay.
Maybe nobody else knows about it this time. Maybe that's why he became champion, being half, maybe even quarter the size of some of these guys that he was arm wrestling
against. Okay, let me stop you right here. Have you ever arm wrestled in your life?
Yes, I have.
Yes, okay. That's something I learned when I was younger. It wasn't the over-the-top thumb trick. It was keeping your hand over your opponent's so you can utilize more arm muscle.
You're almost bending your wrist at almost like an
angle. And you're almost more in control,
because
sort of.
You're pushing not just like I'm doing this with my arm.
Yeah.
But here you only can use part of your upper body up here, but you're losing all of this. When you use this, you're pushing down. Mm. And instead of pushing away, you're pushing down into the ground. So that's the way I learned it. I don't know about this thumb thing you're talking about. Does he use his
thumb? You want to try?
No, not with you.
When they're gripping, it almost looks like he takes his thumb and does some weird thing.
They do some butterfly shit right there. They're like, random thing over the top. And then you look at it at the end and it's like, look at that picture.
Yeah.
Like that. Is he grabbing his thumb?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, no.
That's so stupid.
Okay, anyway, whatever.
What you don't see is his other hand is touching his leg. And that's why. that's the reason why he's like so shocked. Look at his face. Like, look at him. Look over there. The other guy. Stallone's putting his leg, hands right on his leg.
He's got that's a really bad itch on his thigh.
Yeah.
So after the driving lesson.
Yeah.
They go to
the driving lesson.
The driver, a 12-year-old.
What the hell? No, let's go back.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's touch
what
on that.
What the fuck? I've driven a dune buggy. And I don't, it looks like Stallone's trying to be a dick. Like, okay, that's good.
Oh, you think you're so smart. You think you're so much smarter than me. Hey, well, all right, smart guy. It's
get behind my 16-wheeler, okay? And then it's like, haha, you can't start it. The kid starts the truck. He's like, okay, after telling him. And he's like, okay, drive it.
First of all, he's flipping all kinds of switches. I don't know what those are supposed to do.
Shouldn't the truck have reacted in some way by pressing those buttons?
Hydraulic.
Disconnect the back. Yeah. All of the refrigerator fluid
just
spilled out.
Change the time
out.
We're traveling to here. Hold on. 1880 at 7 p.m. All right, here we go. 80 miles an hour. Let's do it.
And are dune buggies stick shift?
Yes, they are.
They are. Okay. Because I was going to say, it takes a while to learn stick.
But he taught him. Didn't you watch the movie? He learned in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Just push that one in. And then second gear.
You're doing it.
And it shows this truck going along this small empty road. And I'm thinking
and
at any
no
point
one on
in time.
This road.
There's no one on this road. No. But I'm thinking that this truck is going to just fly off the side of this at any freaking point in time. It's
absolutely.
Just like slowly. And it keeps going. And I'm waiting like, wait, it's going to flip. It's going to flip, and it doesn't.
Well,
like,
Stallone, he was controlling the wheel, at least. He had his hand on the wheel.
Yes. No! I did not see that.
Yes, Stallone, he had his hand on the wheel. Yeah, I was watching for that, because I'm like, this 12-year-old, because the problem I had with that scene was because this is his livelihood. His job is to get this cargo from one place to another. I'm letting a 12-year-old transport this? If I hit a bump, the cargo's gone. I'd lose my entire life.
This is where I'm stepping in, and I was like, remember, like you're looking at this from now. Like back then, when that happened, this, when it was made, they're looking at this as a father who's trying to connect with his son at all costs because he's never done it before.
Right.
So he's taking these big risks to try to
not in his good.
Yeah. This is okay. This isn't like kind of like saying, okay, you can come with me to my girlfriend's house or anything weird. It's like you can drive my 16-wheeler with $10,000 of goods
like,
in the back.
Want to hold my shotgun?
Don't worry, it's loaded.
You know what that little red button means? Don't point at me.
It's awesome.
Well, I was wondering because in like most 16-wheelers, they have like a switch. You can switch from like the first or sixth gear to the seventh
to the
tenth. Yeah, exactly. What if the kid never figured that out? He'd be like the slowest truck on the road.
That's what I was thinking.
It was
too.
Slow. It was going.
Yeah, it was
because first it was like they kept going and stopped. Going and stopping. And then he finally figured out how to make it go smooth. And he's like, you're doing it.
And then he killed the gear shift in the crankshaft and put his father out of business.
And they had to make money by wrestling.
Arm wrestling. Okay, past that.
So after that, they go to another diner. They go to like three fucking diners.
Dude, it's okay. Diners were popular back then.
Okay.
Pop quiz, do you know how diners started?
No.
Once
somebody misspelled dinner.
Actually, I don't think so.
Oh, that might be. I don't know.
Supposed to be a place for dinner, but there was some hick truck driver.
No, I'm going to skip past the whole history thing. Freeways expanding. Everyone started driving on freeways. Diners
so you need more...
all started popping up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So
they
go
that's
to another...
why truckers all went to diners, and that's why they're very popular, and especially in this movie.
So they go to another diner, and there's a typical 80s punk rock bad kid, and he's there with his bad kid friends, and Stallone straight up puts his son up like, hey, you know what, arm wrestle?
Like, you are a fucking dick, dude.
Yeah.
You are fucking...
He has no clue how strong his kid is.
He has no clue...
This kid has a little muscle on him, dude, this little punk rock
dude,
kid.
Yeah, I don't know.
He
they did the same thing to Stallone when they're in their arm wrestling matches. Mm-hmm. You can see, like, you saw it in that same picture that's up there. he's got like veins popping out everywhere, and they're huge. They're like the size of fucking quarters. Yeah. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
But then they have to have done the same thing with this kid, because in one scene he's like, hey, what's up? And he looks lanky as fuck. He looks just like a tiny skinny kid. But then when they're arm wrestling, he's got these fucking guns. And I'm holy shit.
Are you sure he just didn't put the finger underneath and make it look like that?
Yeah, on the back. Just like, yeah.
I'm so buff.
Yeah, but that kid, no, that scene, I know exactly what you're talking about. He just looks fucking cut up and he's going to murder this kid and his face up. And I was like, oh, okay. But then at the same time, the dad's like, yeah, okay. Just break his arm.
$10 to your $1. 10 to 1 odds.
Yeah. He's like, all right, 10 to 1 odds.
And then he just smokes his kid. He smokes the shit out of him. And of course, the kid runs away.
This is the start of the rest of the movie.
This scene is something I'm going to start calling my turn off period. This is my first turn off moment of the movie. If I didn't have to watch this movie for the podcast, that is when I would have turned it off at this scene. Because he arm wrestles the kid. He loses. He runs away crying. And he's like, he told his dad, you embarrassed me. You want to embarrass me? You did it. I'm embarrassed.
Okay, no, I want to just reiterate on that. He doesn't run away crying. He runs away crying outside of the diner.
Yeah.
Running away while his dad is slowly walking back towards him. You see him running out in the windows.
Yeah.
Like total tantrum.
He does. And then this is the turn off moment for me. When he talks his kid into going back in there for more.
I know what you're going to say.
His explanation about arm wrestling is, it's not about strength, it's about wanting it.
That doesn't make any sense.
If you want it hard enough and bad enough, you will get it. And that's for life. I'm talking about life in general now, not just arm wrestling. But if you want it, you focus and you will get it. And then he goes in there and he wins at the arm wrestling.
He wins 2 out of 3.
He wins the next 2, and then the kid has to give him $1 or something.
Yeah.
I'm not a personal trainer of any kind. I don't have any science degrees. I'm pretty sure in order to bring somebody else's arm down, you need more muscles than they do. I don't care if I want it more than Hulk Hogan. If I want to win more than Hulk Hogan wants to win, I will not beat him. I don't give a shit how bad I want it. That is a horrible lesson to teach your son. You don't have to work. You don't have to try. You don't have to train. You don't have to put any effort in. Just want it, and it will be yours. What the fuck?
You okay?
And then later on, in the next scene, they're driving the truck, and Stallone's working out his arm in the truck. Why are you working out? Yeah. You should be working on wanting. More. That's what you're doing. Don't work on your muscle. Work on your brain about wanting.
And if that weight is on the right side of the truck, how is his left arm so buff?
I thought about that too.
He's left-handed.
You can't be doing that move with the fucking left arm driving.
That's true. But he's left-handed.
And then, okay, so after that, they're bonding again. They're bonding more.
Right.
And then the kid gets kidnapped by his grandpa's henchmen.
Immediately after.
His grandpa has henchmen?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, and one of them. I'll wait till later. Yeah. Who his bodyguard is.
Oh my god.
It was Stallone from the future.
It was the grandpa. So the kid is outside. This is right after he wins his somehow magical arm wrestling match. And this is where the kid, this is going back to what Adam, you were talking about.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he just changes. He goes from super judgmental about his dad to super bitchy and whiny to super cocky. And this is where Stallone's in the booth with his, I guess, ex-wife, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then as he's talking, are you with him? Is he having fun?
Yeah, what are you doing?
And the whole time he's talking, Stallone's kind of looking away from his kid, and you can see the kid in the back.
And he's flexing.
He's flexing, he's walking around. And Stallone's not paying one fucking clue to his kid. And he's jumping on this other guy's bike. He's like, yeah, whatever. And he's like flexing.
He's jumping on his bike?
If you look at it, before he starts flexing, he's like, yeah, I'm on a bike, whatever. And then Stallone's like,
yeah, he's having fun, babe.
And then as he's talking to his, I don't even know what she is anymore.
Yeah.
You see this truck pull up.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, what's going on? No sound, almost like a comedy, because you can't hear anything that's going on. So it's like, and then you see the kid like, and it's like, dude, turn the fuck up. What the fuck? Is this what? I was born in 1984. This movie came out in 1988.
Or 87. Somewhere
around
there. Yeah.
I was 3 when this came out. And I don't know if this is a reflection of something I didn't remember maybe happened.
Uh-oh.
Did this movie come out and I was running, jumping on people's bicycles? I don't think it did. I really don't. But at the same time, I was like, this is a movie.
Well, in 88, they made cars with noise-reducing tires and also noise-reducing car-shutting things.
No, that's a movie fallacy. I love that.
Oh, and diners had glasses that are soundproof.
Right.
You can't hear your fucking kids screaming, ah!
dad, dad!
But earlier in that same scene, when the kid's running away, he knocks on the window to like get his
and
son.
You can, and yeah, you can hear it. Hear, yeah.
Ah, dad! You hear perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But then, but then
the noise
sudden,
again.
Then you get in the phone booth, and that sound phone booth is soundproof. The phone booth is soundproof.
Anything glass is soundproof.
Apparently, it's amazing.
Yeah, apparently you can't see through glass either.
Yeah, apparently.
I was like, dude, what the fuck? Okay, so what? Granddad's henchmen, who aren't really henchmen, they just
they're just like hicks.
Lowly paid. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lowly paid people.
For,
like,
they're still henchmen.
For as much money as this guy has, you should have hired guys in suits, not guys with tank tops. And
thank you. Okay, we didn't. I don't think we clarified that. Oh no, we did clarify.
It's the same thing like in Roadhouse. They all had tank tops and stuff when they did the fighting too.
No, no, it was the idea. So he's like, okay, you know, so we'll get this. And I get the idea of fitting into your area and surrounding.
Yeah, that's true. If they're wearing suits in the Midwest, they'll be like,
okay,
what's going
on
here?
Right,
yeah.
But then at least not tank tops.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's 80s.
They were
everyone had tank tops.
They were
How about a plaid shirt at least? A plaid shirt.
You're defending the movie.
Oh, shit. What have I done? I got to turn my head around.
I put that in the list. No, no. Do you want? No.
Just like Sylvester Stallone did in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Sly rescues his kid. All of a sudden, a truck driving arm wrestling guy becomes a fucking superhero.
Right.
Knows how to run faster than the speed of light, catch up to moving cars. Knows how to fight. Saves his kid. He's like, "Go tell Carter, you can't get fucking my kid."
Yeah.
Can you tell him?
Can you explain to me how a diesel truck going from 0 miles an hour can catch up to a Hemi engine? Pickup truck.
Okay. I'm
with only three people in it. With no
Yeah, definitely.
Back.
There's a rocket behind them.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to use the King Koopa or Donkey Kong defense here from Mario Kart. They start very slow, but they pick up speed.
Yeah, they pick up speed.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, but he did fly through a couple of things amazingly. Because that should have wound up on the news, and he should have gone, why didn't he go to jail? That's on your list, isn't it?
It is.
He flew through traffic. He hit cars and ran into the sky. He's like, oh, and then they bailed out once he caught up, and they're like, oh no, and the son, unharmed, with no seatbelts on, after getting hit by his own father in a fucking diesel engine truck into a little pickup. No, I'll say that was a Hemi engine truck, yes.
Yeah.
And it hits it. Yes, it's made out of sheet metal. But dude, that inertia would have fucking damaged everybody in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting center seat, just like, oh, dad,
no airbags.
Come on.
That kid would have flown through the window.
Yeah. Thank you, right? And all of a sudden, he just goes, oh, and he gets out. I'm okay, Dad. And strangers run up. What's going on? Is everything okay? And I'm like, fucking call the cops.
Yes!
Dude, like, what happened? And he's just like, let's go, son. Let's get out of here. And no one can remember what that truck looked like because they never found him again.
No. And they let the guys run away, too. If that was my kid that I just met after 12 years of not meeting him, I get my kid back. Great. You stay here. Go in the diner. I'm going to kill these fuckers.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to chase these guys down. I'm going to kill them. Slowly.
I feel like
you're
Stallone right now.
Contrary. He knew somehow. I don't know how he knew that it was
it's just your grandfather's goons.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, okay.
Well, he knows the grandpa doesn't like him.
Yeah. He doesn't know
and he knows he doesn't want like him
borderline.
Being with the kid.
Yeah.
So he probably figured, he probably sent him.
Yeah.
How does he know that?
Sent him to abduct my child from me by force and I mean, what is he, like a kingpin? Is he a drug dealer?
But how does he know, though? How does he know that the grandfather doesn't want him
just
to
grandpa
part
grandpa.
Of it?
Up to this boss hog.
Well, I'm sure he knows that I'm sure he knows that his father-in-law doesn't like him. I guess that's established that they don't like each other.
Maybe in the backstory. Maybe
and he has the resources and the means to do something like this.
All right. Based on the rest of the movie, I'll let that one pass.
Okay. That's the most logical part of the movie.
Exactly.
So I like this part. What do they do after that? They drive up the street, they pull over on a dirt road, which was like stop sign number two. It's like, okay, we're going to stop here and go to sleep for the night. Right here.
You can lean on my shoulder if you need a pillow.
In the car.
And I was like, okay, like I've known this guy
day and a half maybe.
Granted, he did kind of save me somehow from other people that I don't know who are trying to capture me.
And he
me.
Has pictures of me in his cab, so I know he knows me.
And he's my dad.
Bunny
ears right
but
there.
But I don't know, he doesn't want to know me.
Yeah.
Dude, he did rip my jacket.
He ripped his jacket.
Yeah.
But then the cutest thing, he wound up sleeping on the kid's shoulder.
Oh,
how cute.
And here
comes. No, it turns out he's just got a back problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then they start doing their morning workout.
What?
Well, first.
The weights.
No, they started doing little mini curls
against the
fender. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? Come on, dude.
All right. Well, a problem I had with that whole truck sleeping scene, he just won $1,000. Why not splurge on a $10
on a bed?
Yes. He just won $1,000. Like maybe half a day ago.
I didn't even think of that.
And they're sleeping in the truck, uncomfortable as shit, because it's a shitty truck. Or why not, if he can win $1,000 per wrestling match,
go to another diner.
Get a car with a bed! Get a car with a bed in it! It exists!
Well, I think the new truck has a bed in it. I think that's why he was so anxious to win it. I think that's why he was so anxious.
Yes.
To win
No more sleeping on shoulders.
I noticed that too, because it's the, we'll get to that later.
Also, that $1,000, we'll come up again, I'm gonna bring that up again later.
What's $1,000 in 1988?
$1,800, maybe five grand.
Dude,
okay,
plus.
When you were a kid, how much did a Coke cost? 75 cents?
50
something
cents.
Like that.
How much does Coke cost now?
Like 125? 150?
Yeah, it's almost $2. Yeah, it's almost double.
So I don't drink soda, so I don't know.
2,000. I'd say 2,200.
Okay.
2,200 with
I remember
that's
buying,
more than enough for a motel.
Yeah, I remember buying motel. Sodas for 50 cents.
A hotel.
Yeah. Anything. A motel. Sleep in the fucking diner. I mean, for shit's sake.
But I think it was trying the whole, again, I'm going back to this.
It's the
like,
bond.
The idea. Yes, it's the bond. It's like, this is my way of life. This is how I do things. Sorry, it's going to fucking suck.
But and you're in my world now.
Yeah.
The way I do things is nothing like your academy or your grandfather's luxurious thing.
Oh, we should bring that up too.
But I'm awesome.
When he walked up to the truck, he was like, it's not like a limousine or anything. We have to go in this.
Right.
This. Right there, I've been like, okay, deal's off. Come pick him up.
I also enjoyed, we skipped this part. At the very beginning, when the dad comes to pick him up at the school, the son asks to see his dad's ID. Like, I don't know this man.
Can I see some identification?
And the general or the head of the school, the colonel, was just like, that's uncalled for, son.
This is what flies for identification. He opens no envelope and holds a picture of Sylvester Stallone holding his mother's hands in what looks like a wedding photo.
Right.
That is identification.
Well, back then, Photoshop didn't exist, so that had to be legitimate. Why am I defending this movie? Stop staring at me.
Oh, there you go. See, now your head's back on the way it should
be. All right.
Yes. You can't see this, but Adam is wearing a trucker hat in honor of the movie.
Yeah. And flannel.
He hasn't turned it backwards yet because we haven't gotten to turn it.
He did.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He got serious. He turned it backwards.
Yeah, I brought it back now because I'm calming down.
So
wait for it.
So pretty much, let's just cut through this. They get back to California. The mom's dead.
Right.
Yep.
And the dad's trying to find.
Wait. First, before that, it's a whiny breakdown again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what?
Whiny breakdown.
Oh, the son cries?
If I didn't go with you, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And I get that because the kid's supposed to be 12.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No,
that's why
I
was like, oh, okay.
Even though he's the same kid.
Like, you know, like, like, kid. Kid's embarrassed. And then kid gets abducted. And then because I think of these things like, well, okay, well, this could probably happen. I don't always just take it at face value because the kid's mom just freaking died and he wasn't there for it.
Right. Yeah, I'd be pissed too. I don't know if I'd have the forethought to think, because you picked me up, she died without me. I'd just be like, oh, she died. I don't know if I'd be like, you motherfucker, you and your arm wrestling. Yeah, so mom dies.
So the mom dies and the grandpa tries to win custody over the kid and somehow he gets custody of the kid, and Stallone straight up drives his truck into his fucking mansion.
No. It was the opposite. He goes, I have a team of lawyers going through the history of this kind of thing.
Oh, and I can't find
a
loophole.
There's no way that you can get custody of you can get custody of your grandson over the father. And he goes, there's got to be a way. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then
that's what I pay you for.
He gets darker with his hand. If you look at certain parts of the movies, he gets darker and lighter. It's because the lighting's shitty sometimes.
Are you sure it's not because he has like some severe like...
I feel bad.
Cirrhosis?
Yeah.
No. Doesn't do the whole... That's patches.
Oh, I don't know.
But when it gets into that, that's like some sort of not melon.
Melanoma.
He's dark as hell, dude.
Epidermal.
He looks like he's been into one too many suntan salons. You've seen those people, right?
Yeah, it's orange.
Yeah, it's no. Mm-hmm. No.
He had orange tint to him.
No, he was orangey in certain parts.
The whole point is he had so much tan on his skin, but it was real tan, that he just his skin started looking like they were not really skin, more like leather.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly right. He was like, and then, I'm sorry, he starts whining and breaking down, and then
that's
he runs off.
That's when he goes to live with the grandfather.
And then he goes to his grandpa because he's upset because he was never.
Then Stallone goes to the house and they're like, "You're not wanted here."
And he fucking drives
the truck through the gate, smashes like three statues, the fountain, and just bah goes through the front door.
Responsibility.
By the way, again, this truck is his livelihood. Second time he reckons he crashed into something. Yes.
Are you crossing off notes?
I am crossing off notes.
See, that's the point though. I'm going to go back and say, it's his livelihood. That's how much the movie wanted to point out that that his kid was more important than what he wanted. That's what I got from it, a lot of part. I'm like, okay, I get this.
Yeah.
This could have been done better. Okay. But at the same time, his kid's like the most important thing to him right now.
Right.
Because he had one job. There was no trailer attached to that. He's not like he's on.
When his kid was driving the car, there was a trailer attached.
Yes, because his kid is more important than the trailer. That's the whole point I was trying to make. Because I'm just doing this bitch off.
Yeah,
too.
No, you nailed it.
But I mean, he doesn't have a trailer the entire time. You notice there's only one trailer, Brute for Men, by the way.
Was it Brute?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I have to say this is one of the first times as far back as this goes that I've seen product placement, and it's just Brute for Men going down the freeway, going through Arizona, one truck. Brute for Men. The entire thing, I was like, dude, I'm watching this for 30 seconds. And it's just like, okay, I get it. I never want to try that cologne ever in my life again.
It
was big
Brute
back then.
I enjoyed Brute.
Yeah, it was.
It was. I enjoyed
my
it.
Dad used to wear Brute.
But anyways, that's Brute. Why I won't wear it.
I think mine did too, man.
No.
I think everyone's dad at one
my
point
dad
rocks it.
I used to sneak the
you know why?
It's because
he saw
it.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
So Stallone goes to jail.
Yeah.
Fucking destroying private property.
I want to point this out. He doesn't go to jail. He goes to fucking prison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even hold him for a trial in jail first. It's just straight, bam, you're in prison.
Exactly. I was like, okay, so, and he's wearing, by the way, his normal clothes in prison.
No jumpsuit. Yeah, no number. There's no slippers.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so this is awkward. And
maybe they tried to take the clothes from him, but he just arm wrestled them out of it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'll arm wrestle you for that suit. You got it, man. I want this more than you do. Bam! Nailed it.
Over the top.
No, that was the old contest. I want this more. You lose. Boom. Yeah. Yeah. Suit.
So he makes a deal with the grandpa's lawyer to sign over custody to the grandpa. Carter. That's his last name. Carter. Mr. Carter.
I thought it was Loga. Yeah.
So he makes... Is it?
That's his name. Loggia. Loggia.
Robert Loggia. That's the actor's name.
Yeah.
So he makes a deal and then Danny tells him... Is that the kid's name? Danny? It just popped in my head.
Yeah, I won't say it is.
Okay.
Michael.
Michael, okay.
Mikey, yeah, because he calls him Mikey.
So Mikey comes in, sees dad in jail. He's like, "Hey, Mikey, like, I didn't want things to happen this way. I didn't want it to happen this way between us."
You know, honestly, I like Jester's acting
Mikey
better for him again.
He becomes bitch mode again, where he's just like,
you can't take care of me, you're inconsistent, and I don't know if I can live with you. And he goes, "Okay, I'll sign the papers." And then out of nowhere, just like fucking fly, landed in the wrong place on his back. Or he's got a wild hair up his ass. He's like, "I want to go to Vegas."
Really?
Vegas. No, Vegas has been a thing through that entire movie, though.
It has been.
Because Bull mentioned
they
it.
Don't
he's
talk
like,
about
"I'm going to see
it.
You.
That's
I'll see you in Vegas."
Does he go to Vegas every year? Has he been there five times? Is this his first year? No.
Oh, it's his first year.
You find out later.
That's true.
He goes to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing is, if he's such a big shot on the road, why is he now just going to Vegas for the first time?
Because he has meaning now.
Now, yeah. Now it's about his son.
It's about
but earlier
the truck
in the money, he
and
said,
the purse.
"See you in Vegas."
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And he was like, "Oh, foreshadowing." But it's been established that he's going to Vegas in the first place.
That's true. Yeah. That's before the son came
around. Yeah, exactly. It's before he lost his son, too. So it's like, okay, well, if he was going to go to Vegas in the first place,
maybe it's because he's been running away so many times in his past, and now he's actually going through with everything he said he was going to do because he's not being consistent with his son. He wants to prove to him that he actually can do that.
Maybe he's just been training for the
past
12 years.
You can't just pop up and say whatever you want whenever it's really convenient for you.
Hey, it makes sense. I think this is a talk show or something.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this tournament. So the grand prize.
No. We have a lot.
First. But, we just glossed over my turn off point number two.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. what was that?
It was the jail scene. The jail thing. The whole fact that he was in jail. He's trying to show his son he's a better person.
By going to jail.
No, talking to him behind the fence. Not even glass, whether it was like a fence. It was a chain link fence.
It was
one of those things where you could like reach your finger through and touch them type of thing. That was a creepy thing I just did with my hands.
Yeah, it was weird.
Sorry. But so the whole thing was, and this he tells his son, because he's trying to make the deal with the guy, that he's like, "I'll make a deal with you. You sign over custody and we won't press charges." And he's like, what does Mikey say about that?
You tell him yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Mikey comes in.
So he's talking to his
sleeved,
kid.
By the way.
Oh, he sleeves again.
Oh, he got a new jacket.
Got a new jacket, right. Or he's got a hell of a seamstress. But, so he's talking to the kid. And he's talking about, like, you gotta do what's best for you. Whatever it is, you do what's best for you. And
whatever
in my mind,
do something best for you.
There's no way in Stallone's mind what's best for his son could be come with me on the road. Versus yeah. go with your rich grandfather and have a good life. Do what's best for you. The answer already is what he's been doing for 12 fucking years before you showed up.
Yeah.
What's best for you is not be with your low-life hustler dad on the road where I punk you into beating little gangster rocker dudes. It's just like, yeah, do what's best for you. All right. What's best for me is to do what I'm doing. All right. All right. I'll sign the papers.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that last one, that was pretty impressive.
So it's like, okay, but there's no way he could think he's what's best. Yeah. You share the same genes. That's it. That is all you have.
Two totally different sizes.
I showed you how to drive. I got you a dollar from some guy in a diner. But that is not better than the academy he was at. The millions of dollars.
He flipped the hat.
What is best for him is what he's been doing his entire life already. Not to get away with this guy who's in jail now because he couldn't think about the right way to get his son back. If he wanted his son back, he could have just called the cops. That is my son. The mother is dead. He is legally my son. Get away from that old guy with a bad tan.
He doesn't talk to cops, though. He's
yes,
a trucker.
Instead, I'm driving my truck into the manor. That he's a horrible person. Bad decision making. Bad role model for the kid. Hey, don't work out. Just want it. Just want it. This guy's a horrible person. What's best for him is not Stallone. It is Robert Loggia. It is Carter. So tell his son, do what's best for you. It's obvious what's best for him, and it's not you.
Say something for the sequel, Rocky.
Turn the hat back.
I do not like this movie.
So, wow, that was good. So we enter the tournament, which is the fuck.
You can't just go into that. You can't just be like, so then.
Well, no, like that's what
happens.
Like he realizes he has to enter the tournament to win the purse, to win the truck, to try to get a better life for his dad.
So he signs the papers. Custody is given to the grandfather. He's now out of jail, so he can't go to Vegas.
Yes, and then he goes and he goes to Vegas
in this tournament.
First he sells his truck.
Yes,
to go to Vegas and again bet. Going back to what Adam said, his entire life earnings, everything he has on himself.
And we don't even know if he's competed in this fucking tournament before. He's risking everything.
Exactly. Thank you. Because I'm like, okay, so has he lost this before? I'm like, is he doing – that's what I was talking about before.
So he sells his truck for $7,000.
$7,000.
He then goes in to the tournament and bets $7,000 on himself.
Yes.
Which means somewhere in that two-day period, he blew $1,000. He won $1,000 over 2 days ago. Where did that go? He didn't go to a goddamn motel.
Maybe he posted bail with it for prison.
No, but the charges got dropped.
Yeah.
Where did that $1,000 go?
The travel money?
To travel?
$1,000?
Isn't that much gas?
From California to Vegas, it doesn't take $1,000.
Gallon, dude.
Well, if he's walking the whole way.
No, he sold his truck in Vegas. He sold it in Vegas.
I'm pretty sure across the street from the Hilton.
So apparently he's doing hookers and blow now.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
So he enters this tournament, which I wrote down, is this the fucking Mike Tyson's punch out of arm wrestling tournaments?
Right.
You had the weirdest fucking characters. You had a guy who swallowed a cigar whole. You had the big fucking bull guy. You had like this was like no, I, this I, is like yes. a real oh, life man. Mike Tyson's punch out. Like there's like I'm surprised there wasn't a soda pop Pinsky,
the glass
arm wrestling guy. You had the zaniest.
They got taken out in the semifinals. That's why.
Well, King Hippo would have been the main guy he was fighting against, I guess.
Well, Mike Tyson's like punch out was made around that time.
Yeah.
It was around that time.
It was.
I remember playing the shit out of that.
Well, then now you know where they got their names from.
Interesting.
Oh, also, I have to point this out. How many of you guys watch any sort of quote unquote reality television right now? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Yeah, I watch King of the Nerds.
A lot of our listeners have probably too. Have you seen anything before that movie that did the interview process they did in the movie that way?
Ooh, interesting.
Because I pointed that out myself.
Oh, yeah. They cut in and out.
And out from interviews from them. And they're like, you know what?
I don't care who that guy is. And it shows, what was this guy? The main guy. The main bad guy.
Bull.
Bull. And he's like,
he's wearing a different color shirt.
And then it pulls
different hat.
In an interview. And he's like, you know what? I don't care who it is across from me. If they're sitting across from me, I just have to destroy him. I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen that on, like, Hell's Kitchen, like, every.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Like, it's real world as far back as it goes. Mm-hmm. And then that, I don't know if it came before that or at that moment. I was like, it had to have evoked.
The first real reality show was The Real World. And that was the 90s.
Yeah.
So this predates that.
Yeah, but I'm sure they did it with, like, boxing and things like that. So mm-hmm. I don't know if this.
Interesting.
But they don't cut live time.
Yeah. I now that you mentioned.
They don't cut live into.
Oh, no, not live.
Interviews. That's what they were doing.
Right.
They were turned around and they're like, yeah, so I got to win this truck. All I care about is truck. But I turn my hat around and become a different person. I become a machine.
Not his son, but the goddamn truck.
All I care about is the truck.
All I care about the truck.
We'll start a new life.
Yeah, the truck.
At this point, he thinks his son's gone. So that truck is all
he's
got
left. No, he's doing it to win his son.
No, he's not.
And the truck had a hawk on it, didn't it?
No, he put the hawk.
No, oh, wait, shit.
He took the hawk with him. When he sold his truck, he took the hawk with him.
Oh, fuck. I just ruined this note. I put in my notes, I said, if the winning truck has a hawk and your last name is Hawk, there's a good chance you're going to win. Never mind. I fucked up that note.
No, when he sold the truck for $7,000, he said, I'm taking the hawk with me, though. Is that cool? I was like, it's cool.
Never mind.
That seems like a bad idea to take the decal off the truck, but.
I would have been like in Breaking Bad. It's just like, no, as is. But it's the first dollar I ever made. As is.
Yeah.
Burn it.
Yeah.
So
how, does burn that?
I have a question about this tournament.
Sorry,
is this like a day long tournament? Because an arm wrestling match doesn't take that long.
Like, right?
At most, it's like what a minute.
No, dude, we flew through that. Because the whole tournament was not a very long time. Because the movie up until that point, I was like, okay, like I'm getting ready to go to bed, and all of a sudden, like, and just it's like, okay, 20 minutes climax, and people were just like losing, big buff guys. What the fuck, though? Some of these people are crazy, like. Their characters.
Yeah.
Going back to that, I just like it was borderline unbelievable.
That's another thing about the cutting away from the interviews to about what they were doing. It was such a huge contrast.
Yeah.
They're like, well, they're in the match, like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
And he's like, and he gets to him smoking a cigar and having the last one.
I'm just in here for rest, to arm wrestle, you know? I just want to do this I want to kill somebody, you know, I want to break their arm type of thing. Back to the arm wrestling. Like, what the?
And there's something I want to bring up. In the final, I'm jumping a little ahead here, but in the final match with Bull, they slip. The hand slips, so they got to put the strap on. Right. Why the fuck isn't every match have a strap on it?
Well, that's good.
To avoid that. Wouldn't every fucking match have a strap?
There's a stigma against it, too.
The strap on?
It's a strap. Because if you know how to do the sport, you don't need a strap.
Because
they're probably trying to go over. He's probably trying to go over the top again. And he's like, oh, and it slipped. Which I still don't get, actually. If you look, come here. Right. If you do the physics of this.
Me and Jester are going into it.
How do you slip against putting two hands like this?
I'm convinced alone.
I thought he's two because you see it before the other ones.
Yeah.
Because
he does some weird movement with the thumb where it's like.
Yeah, okay. Because he's like, he does what? He moves his thumb up like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, he does some like weird octopus shit with his hand. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, he slipped, but you see. And, you know, let's go back like a tiny little step back. We jumped pretty far ahead in the tournament. He is not a fair player.
Stallone?
No.
No.
No. He didn't cheat, but it was kind of like he's an opportunist. Cause this guy was like, let's go. Let's do this. And this is the top four.
Right.
Let's do this. And you have to lose twice to actually lose.
By the way, they announced at least 25 times.
I know, right?
In case you didn't remember, you have to lose twice to be eliminated from this tournament.
Right.
For everyone with Alzheimer's,
you have to lose twice.
I feel like the announcement was like, all right, just to let everybody know, you have to lose twice in order to get eliminated from the... Wait, interrupt this. You have to lose twice in order to do this. That's
it
right.
It just came in from the commissioner.
It just came in. You must lose twice. Hold on. Breaking news again. You must lose twice.
So does that mean Bull gets a rematch because he only lost once?
Oh, fuck.
Ooh.
But I guess it doesn't matter in the final.
Maybe in the final.
Yeah, in the championship it wouldn't matter.
Okay. But, right before that, he's going up against this black guy. And he goes like, come on, let's do this.
And he looks smaller than Stallone.
He's
like,
tall.
His arms aren't that big.
Yeah, but Stallone's like walking around. And he's like, let's do it. You're stalling. He's talking to people. He's like, why are you stalling? Like, quit talking shit. And Stallone walks up there. And then he's about to put his hand in the other guy's hand. And he gets up and he moves back. He's like... Oh, and the guy's like, come on, you're wasting time. Stop pussing out. And the guy, he still walks up there and he's stalking. He turns and he talks to someone for a split moment. And the ref releases his hands and he goes, wham! And he slams his hand down the ground. And he wins just like that.
Yeah.
because he had a torn muscle or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. But at the same time.
But he now had a drive because before that, Carter had him go up to his suite. And he told him, I'm going to give you a $250,000 check. $500,000 check and a new truck.
Right.
And to just leave. Get out of our lives forever.
Maybe if he wanted it more going into the tournament, he would just beat everybody.
That's true. Because it's all about wanting it.
Right. Wanting. It is about wanting it.
Oh, that's wanting it? Oh, this is what I wanted to bring up. The bodyguard. Who here is a wrestling fan? A pro wrestling fan?
Oh, not so much.
No.
Do you remember Terry Funk?
Negative.
That sounds like a horrible name.
Terry Funk was his bodyguard. Terry Funk was a hardcore wrestler in ECW. He had a really shitty run in WWE.
Movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, ECW was around the 80s, but he was like in Tennessee, like in the South, doing wrestling. And he was, he's a big deal in like Tennessee in the South. He's a big wrestler. And that's Terry Funk. There's another wrestler who did WCW in the 90s, who's in the tournament as well.
Punches out? It's the glass window?
No, it's, I forgot who he is. It's
that's what I was thinking.
It's one of the blonde guys. Not the guy who ate the cigar, but there's another blonde guy.
Wrestler? Are you talking the wrestler? Because I was thinking the guy you were talking about, the bodyguard, was the guy when Sloan was trying to leave the suite. And he goes,
Mr. Carter's talking to you.
And he goes,
right.
And he slaps him in a little back, and then he just goes, what? And he throws him through
the window. That's
Terry Funk. Oh, that's Terry Funk. Okay.
That's Terry Funk.
Okay. By the way, Rooker. Sorry to interrupt again, but the reason Carter is having this meeting with Stallone is because his son has now left the premises.
Oh, damn.
The son escaped. He found the letters. He found the letters, 100 letters.
No, I want to talk about the letters for one sec.
Okay.
So let's say Hawk goes off to Vegas to try to
win the money,
start
win
a life on his own without his kid.
Right.
That's what you're saying. I thought he was doing it for his kid. No, no.
He signed custody over.
Because he wanted to. He did. Oh, all right.
He wanted to follow through with what he said he was going to do.
Okay, whatever. So he wanted to follow through. But he's going to Vegas, and all of a sudden the kid is snooping around in his late mother's room.
Exactly, the mother's room.
Late mother's room. Opening. And first,
he finds him in a purse.
And I was thinking, first thing I was thinking was, okay, that's a little soon to be going through your mom's shit. Like, you are not that emotionally distraught. A.
Okay.
B, it's a little soon to go through mom's underwear drawer and going through all these.
He's 12 years old, man.
Who keeps all
that's
these
creepy.
Letters
sick.
In one drawer underneath the, I think it was underneath a purse.
No, it was in a purse.
It was in that brown purse?
It was in a purse underneath something else in the drawer. It seemed to be like one of the, what do you call this, like makeup vestibules or whatever you call that thing.
Armoires?
Yeah, it's armoire-ish.
Yeah.
It's like a makeup stand chair. What?
I don't care. It
doesn't matter. Yeah. So that leads me to believe it was the mother that was hiding the letters in the first place.
Yes, thank you. I think it was too.
So then why hide the letters and then all of a sudden, I got to change the conscience.
Because she probably didn't want him to be a bad influence. Because
she hated her dad. She hated her dad. That's all it comes down to.
So you told me
her fucking father.
So, wait. I'm just looking at Hollywood, and he's just looking at us like, No, why would hiding...
I have way too much invested in this movie. I have way too much invested in this movie.
if she hated her dad, why did she hide?
No, she hated her father, not Stallone. She hated her father.
Yeah, she hated her father, so why did she hide the letters? Because she didn't want...
Apparently she also hated Stallone, but then not so much at the end.
I think this is what
they were trying to say. That's what I mean. I mean, you can't just flip it like that.
My thoughts are, is because the mother was... Yeah. The mother was told by the grandfather to not give those things. And because she hated her grandfather, the father, and also wanted the son to have a parent, changed her mind the last second.
Yeah, death does that too, I guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that changes shit up.
You know what doesn't make sense?
This whole movie.
How does a 12-year-old get to Las Vegas from Los Angeles
in two hours? To be fair, he had about a
airplane. No.
Airplane?
No. We got to go.
He took $1,000 from his dad.
Oh, damn it.
That would explain all of it. Good job, Maestro. All right. No, but to be fair, he did have a 10-minute driving lesson from his father.
Which he could have driven
Which gave him
there.
All the know-how
but
drive
he drove
to the
a
fucking
Datsun.
Airport.
No, that 10-minute driving lesson taught him how to jump off a second-story balcony on the concrete.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without breaking his leg.
Then
got that.
Somehow just run as fast as he can in perfectly white clothes without getting anything dirty on him.
Right. Immaculate.
Yeah, and he jumps over the fence and then still perfectly white clothes and swirling, no stains at all, driving a pickup truck that somehow he stole. I don't know how he stole it.
I don't know.
Drives through somebody, they're chasing him, and he's driving this thing like he's driven every day in his life.
Right.
Gets to the
He's
airport.
A stunt car driver. Based on a 20-minute lesson. That's amazing.
Right?
Super smart. This kid is brilliant.
Military academy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. There you go.
But he gets to the airport, and
How?
And he goes through the luggage.
Through the luggage.
Through the luggage.
Exactly.
Where your luggage come out of the little hole. He survives that. Isn't there shit there that could kill you?
Yes.
No. There's got to be x-rays and shit. Yeah.
Oh, x-rays. Wait,
or at least the baggage handler. No. That means the baggage handler picked him up and threw him inside the
airplane. How did he get the tarmac? That's what happened. He got the fucking tarmac.
This is pre-9/11.
Yes, but the kid got on the tarmac.
You guys ever
jumped inside of a suitcase. What the fuck?
And you guys got to watch Die Hard 2 then.
That's what I mean. No, well, you can get hurt in there. You can get seriously hurt.
Only if you're having a gunfight in the back, dude.
No. Okay, yes, with a gunfight. But you can trip. You can get hurt. And a kid running around, something like that, there's just tons of stuff moving everywhere.
Well, you just said that the kid was super smart.
No, I didn't. I said he went to military. Yeah, he did.
You know why he didn't get hurt? It just occurred to me.
Montage.
He did not want to get hurt.
Because if you want stuff.
Yes.
I want to see my dad.
Right. Then you get it. His dad taught him how to get there.
You have to want it.
He didn't know he taught him that.
If you wanted it.
I'm going to B. It doesn't explain how he got into the actual cabin, sneaking in through the luggage department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because supposedly, inside the luggage compartment is a ladder that goes directly to the cabin.
Yeah,
supposedly.
There's no air pressure in the luggage
area.
Because
the next thing you know, it's like he was in Los Angeles, and while his dad beats two people, he's showing up in Las Vegas.
Right.
And walking through the hallway like a normal, actual person. Yeah. Like, they didn't check his ticket. Nothing. No.
Yeah.
No. Just like, oh, it's just a kid.
How much do you think tickets cost to go to an arm wrestling tournament?
In 1988.
Yeah. I don't even think that there even are tickets.
I'm shocked by the turnout as it is. to assume people paid for that?
I gotta admit that, yeah.
It was a huge turnout to watch arm wrestling.
He somehow evades the guys going for him. I don't know how.
The goons.
Inside of that small little hallway. You assume, oh, no. I'm sorry. He jumps down and he crawls on their feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other guy says, I should do that too. No, he doesn't. Instead, he's like, get out of the way, people. And he's this like 300-pound guy.
I'm a wrestler.
Yeah.
I wrestle.
And then what? Wrestling. Right, wrestling. And then he takes a taxi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he takes a taxi. What the?
Yeah, so then he shows up, he sees his dad before like one of his last final matches to give him the extra inspiration mm-hmm. to get what he
did
says.
Did you notice how happy Stallone was to see him?
Not very.
This is what he said. Mikey.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Maybe he was all like...
I'm like, dude, my fucking kid just came across the two states.
Right.
Like one and a half. Like just like all the way through somehow immaculately one day. Fucking day.
The kid didn't know a day ago decided what's best for me is not you. Has shown up a thousand miles by himself somehow. Hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I guess you do love me, huh?
Yeah. Come on. I guess I better win for real now. I want it more. Thank you for that.
And did you notice the...
It's horrible.
So,
did you notice the bandage on his arm was a fucking towel?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a towel.
I think it was made of denim even.
So we get to the final showdown. Bull and Hawk. What we've been waiting for all fucking movie, two animals,
that's
a bull and a hawk,
bull.
Going at it. And did you notice how fucking sweaty these two motherfuckers were? Like, Stallone was glistening in that final.
But have you?
I've been in arm wrestling matches before. I've never sweated that much in my life. They didn't even wrestle yet. He's already sweating. Is it fucking hot in there?
Well, the body heat, yeah. And not to mention also the lights that they have shining down upon them. It gets really hot really fast.
He's got a good point.
Yeah. And not to mention, every single person that was in that show... was actually been wiped down with a bunch of Vaseline.
Right. I'm going to call this the Dwayne Johnson syndrome from Fast and the Furious. He's constantly covered in cocoa butter, where he's like his whole body's glistening the entire movie. Well, I feel like maybe it accentuates the muscles.
The reason why Dwayne's like covered in cocoa butter is because if he doesn't do that, he'll rip out of his own skin.
Oh, the stretch marks from the steroids?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it's just. Maybe the shininess makes you look buffer than you are. Maybe that's a movie trick. I don't know.
Also, it's the legal arm wrestling ring. So when the cops get there, it's harder to get the cuffs on. They slip right out.
An illegal ring.
It's no wonder Stallone slipped out of the other guy's hand earlier in the match.
It's like greased up death.
So, by the way, there's no.
There's a catch. See that here.
There does not appear to be many rules to this arm wrestling at all.
It's just go.
You have to grab onto one thing to hold one hand, and then everything else is fair game. These guys are throwing their weight all over the place.
Yeah, isn't that cheating?
Totally no, because I thought it was you put your arm under your arm, and you use just your arm strength. You can't use your body strength. You have to keep yourself up and still.
Right, because the other guy's like 500 pounds. Of course, if he does one,
that's what I'm saying too. And
he knows his weight. It's over.
He's just like, cool. It just like falls over, and that's it. We win.
You just see
the bull fell asleep and won an arm wrestling.
So, of course, what happens is Stallone goes over the top,
And Bull, he bitches out.
He catches Bull by surprise. Bull's just like,
he catches what Bull by the horns.
No. He wins the tournament. And then Bull, right before that, when they strapped him, Bull fucking straight up punched Stallone in the nose. He's like, come on, Hawk. Come on. He's bleeding. And the kid's like, come on, Dad. Come on. And as soon as the arm wrestling tournament's over, he holds his hands up like he's fucking, yeah, you won. You deserve it. While 10 minutes ago, he had an interview. I don't give a fuck who's in front of me. I'm going to break their fucking arm.
Right.
What?
Yeah. And the thing that Maestro was talking about earlier, this was a perfect moment. In the, when he starts realizing that he's going to lose, he goes into this mode like, no. Yeah.
I remember that.
All crazy with the eyes.
He
like,
stares
I can't
at his hands.
I'm losing.
Like he doesn't know what's going on. He's like, what?
Yeah. For being as crazy and pumped up as he was when he lost, he did not fight too much about having his hand held up in the air. Yeah. I agree with you completely on that one.
Yeah.
I can't feel my arms anyways.
He looked like, oh man, I lost. Shucks.
Good job, buddy.
You got it.
He even said, there is no second place.
Right.
And he's second place. And he's cool with it. He's like, yeah.
Loser.
Second place.
Well, second place is loser.
I guess you got me. You must have wanted it more than I did, apparently. Yeah.
He's the best.
I think that guy wants I knew that was going to come up somewhere in this podcast.
So then everyone lives happily ever after.
Oh yeah. So he gets his truck. And with the money
he bet on himself,
the gambling father who threw his entire life into himself, which he didn't know he was going
to
have a kid with.
What was that, 10 to 1? 21 to
20 1?
20 to 1.
So what's
he bet 7K, 20 to 1.
What's that equal to?
$240,000.
$140,000.
So I'm sorry, $140,000.
So he got less.
No, yeah, he got less for winning than betting on himself. Sure.
Okay, all right.
Which is also both equal to less than what the father would have gave him.
Yes.
Yeah, but he couldn't see Mikey ever again.
I'm sure he would have ran his truck into the car, into the house again.
Yeah.
So
he did it again. You have to pay me more money.
Over the top, ladies and gentlemen.
One last thing.
Okay.
One last thing.
I do have a life lesson from this movie that I learned.
Okay. But no, during the final scene, I could not help but notice while they were all celebrating in the area, the arena, if you will, there was 8 referees watching this match. I don't know why you need that many eyes on arm wrestling. But they were also like holding the crowd back from storming the stage.
Yeah.
These 8 referees were watching the match and then all of a sudden became crowd control because there was pandemonium about an arm wrestling thing.
They couldn't afford it.
Like, wow, oh my God, he won against all odds. I want to jump on top of him. Who has that urge to rush an arm wrestling stage after the victory?
Chicks who love
arm wrestling?
I don't know.
Yeah.
There were a lot of women in that audience.
Oh.
No, but no, if you look back in the movie, you see girls holding them signs. Ah! Look at the men playing in that. There's Sylvester Stallone, who is in good shape at that time. There's a black guy who's in good shape.
Yeah.
Not so much everyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love you, baby! I don't even know their names. Bull. That's not even his name. Why does it say Blaster in his chest?
Oh, dude, that shirt is so awesome.
Why?
I want to get that shirt.
Why does it say Blaster?
I don't know.
I thought that was his name on there. Up against Blaster. Oh, I was like, why? Why? He doesn't even know his own fucking name. Is this supposed to be like a science? No.
All right. Life lesson. There's a life lesson you said.
This is Hollywood with the life lesson from Over the Top.
All right.
Arm wrestling can solve any problem. Whether it's a resentful son when you haven't seen him in 10 years, a bitter hatred from your wealthy father-in-law, or a bitter custody battle. In the end, arm wrestling solves all.
It does.
Hollywood's life lesson.
As long as you want it.
Those were our opinions for the movie. We have lots of opinions, but we have zero credentials. Now I want to hear from people who have credentials.
All right.
So do you want to hear the good reviews or the bad reviews first?
There's reviews?
No. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So let's hear these quote-unquote good reviews.
Okay. Luke Thompson of New Times says, not enough ass-kicking, but the world does need at least one film about professional arm wrestling. It's the Rocky of arm wrestling.
All right.
Oh.
I guess.
And I really love this review. This, I swear to God, this is on Rotten Tomatoes. I swear to God, this is the actual review. Phil Villarreal of Arizona Daily Star says, Stallone gives an impressive performance.
Is that it?
That's the whole review on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
I think he held back a little bit.
That's deep.
He did good. What did he do bad? I can tell you.
Impressive in which way? Like, I'm so impressed how bad it was or...
I don't think a movie can get this bad.
Yeah. Here's some bad reviews. Frank Ocheng of WorldJournal.com says, Stallone, for whatever reason, continues to pile on the dramatic dribble and yet another pointless movie mishap. Damn. old.
Dramatic dribble.
And this one, I never thought of this until I read this one. Michael Smith of Nolan's Pop Culture Review says, poor Sly, he doesn't even know if his last name is Hawk or Hawks. And in the they kept going Hawk and Hawk.
That's right.
I kept hearing Hawks. And I'm like, what's his last name?
Interesting.
Wow. What's your name? Last Hawks.
We got these from Rotten Tomatoes. This is going to be the next segment of the show, Rotten Tomatoes. I'm going to have the guys here guess the score on Rotten Tomatoes. For those of you who don't know, Rotten Tomatoes is a cumulative score from audience members and critics from a 0 to 100 scale. And I'm going to have them guess. What do you want to guess first, the audience or the critics, the tomato meter? The tomatometer.
I want critics.
You want critics first? All right.
35.
I always feel like critics are so pretentious assholes that they always give higher scores than they should.
See, that's what fucked me over last time.
That's what fucked me over last time as well. I'm gonna say 45, which I think that's what I guessed last time also, but fuck it. 45.
58.
36.
Whoa!
Ooh! Oh, I went over. All right.
Damn,
all
right. That's fucking low, man.
That's bad.
All right.
Audience? Maestro?
47.
28. 58.
51%.
Okay, I was closer than last time.
Closer.
Yeah.
This movie cost $25 million.
What?
Whoa.
In 1988.
Wait, in 1988?
This movie cost $25 million.
How?
This makes no sense. Where did the money go? To the food?
It went the same place as that $1,000 went. Nobody knows.
I want you to guess how much it grossed. It's life gross.
Life gross. All right.
Cost 25.
Million.
Million. Gross. Besides
life gross. Well, it's
this
out
is just
30
theater.
Years ago.
This is just theater. I couldn't find like DVD sales or anything. This is just in the theater. So it's total gross from the theater.
Well, back then, remember, domestic movies were way more popular.
And they were
That's
cheaper.
Where people went. Yeah. And so everyone, and they were cheaper.
Yeah.
How 25 million? Oh, okay. Okay. I'll go first. All right.
Can I just compare that to something?
Okay, please.
The first Twilight movie was like 30 million. And that had like CGI and like sort
what
of a.
The what the hell? Fuck did they use $25 million
on this? Exactly.
Maybe they had to buy 1,000 of those trucks he kept wrecking. For no apparent
reason.
Maybe
they had to keep buying shirts for the kid.
Yeah, insurance for that kid to drive on the freeway.
Sorry, I ripped his arm off. We got to put the body back together.
Yeah, his clothing was expensive.
Yeah.
That's what, exactly.
Maybe there were surgeries involved from the constant
arm wrestling. It had to have been a pro, so I'm guessing it made a profit. So I'm going to shoot a little low of a profit. I'm going to shoot 27.
27
total?
27 million?
Okay.
Well, you said just theaters. How long was it in theaters? It couldn't be in theaters more than
You're saying 27 was what they got, or is that net after recouping 25?
No. He's talking ticket sales.
In general.
That's what we're talking about,
because technically,
right?
You have to make three times what your budget is to break even. It's a whole thing. I can get into it later, but a movie has to make three times its production budget just to break even. It's
interesting.
Weird. I can get into it later.
Okay.
So it 27, they're still they're still in the loss.
Fuck that thing. I will say $100 million.
Okay. Maestro?
I'd say 14 million.
Okay.
Wow. You think it's that bad?
Yes.
I want to say 65.
It made $16 million.
Oh, no way! Who's right, like, almost three times in a row?
Wow.
$16 million?
Well, no. He gets 58 on the audience.
I got 47.
And it was 51. Oh, shit. That's right.
Yeah, he got it.
My bad.
That's all right. I said I was closer than last time.
So I guess the
lesson
here.
So they lost
here,
money.
Lesson here is to not watch the movie, and you get closer with these guesses at the end.
Yeah.
What came out first, Rocky or this?
Rocky.
Rocky was the 70s.
Okay. Yeah, so this was a...
I was about to make that
this
same argument.
This was around the time of Rocky IV.
Yeah, this is like a
because it was still the Cold War.
Expansion. Oh, yeah.
So Rocky Chain.
Maybe he was still
Rocky IV was awesome.
In his invincible period where he's on top of his game, so then put out whatever movie he wants.
I think.
Maybe.
I think this is a humbling movie.
Yeah.
But I've seen it before. Because my dad used to like these movies when I was young.
Oh, I'm sure it made more, like on VHS. I'm sure it made more in sales. But, the next part of the show is news. Just very broad topics. I just want to get your just basic opinion on it.
Okay.
Mel Gibson has been cast as the villain in Expendables 3.
Nice.
Your thoughts?
Expendables 3?
I like it.
Awesome. I like it.
I like that.
Since we've been talking Stallone.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, he's been the villain in South Park enough times.
I like the idea of putting Stallone. I'm still stuck. It's going to take me a minute to get through this. I like the idea of putting him in
villain role.
I like putting him as a bad guy because he's been portrayed as a bad guy.
Yes.
For a very while. Yes. A very long time.
And just because we're bad guys.
No, no, but now. it's this
guy?
Moment where it's.
But he's
this,
never played a bad guy ever. He's always been
this
a
is
hero.
His, this is, I'm going to call this his Ross Geller moment. Okay, have you seen Band of Brothers?
What the?
No.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
What's his name? David Schwimmer? In Friends was the goofy, smart guy. And then you watch Band of Brothers, and he's the complete opposite. They're like, this dude is their fucking drill sergeant drilling the crap out of these guys.
Being a dick.
He demands their attention, and he is good at what he does. I mean, yes, he has his flaws eventually.
Yeah, he does become a little pussy-ish.
Well, in action. Yeah. But it's that thing. It's the total role reversal. He's not the protagonist anymore. He's not the guy making the Passion of the Christ. He's outside of that comfort zone everyone else is used to. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good thing, because I think the people will be pulled into that. Isn't Expendables 3?
Yeah. They're trying to get Clint Eastwood. They're trying to get Clint Eastwood. Nice. My favorite actor of all time, Kurt Russell.
Okay.
And there's one more like big star they're trying to get. I forgot who. But like they're expanding it more to get these guys.
See, yeah. I gotta say, I love the fact that they're making the Expendables movies.
Oh, it's great.
Because at first I looked at the trailer and I was like, this is going to be a shitty fucking movie. And I watched it, and I absolutely loved it.
But that's why it was so awesome.
But no, it goes back to these 80s styles movies where that's when these things were big. And I love it because it's like.
Were things over the top?
Yeah, things was over the top. I don't know. I've never seen a movie that turned around, dropped their fuel reserve over a port. Someone popped out of the back and shot it with a flare gun to make the entire thing explode.
Yeah.
Only while shooting at everything with a 50 caliber machine gun.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so absurd. It is awesome.
And it works.
It works because I was like, well, now I know what I'm getting into. And everything else was just total fucking like, okay, this happened. I'm like, okay, that can happen in this little universe they're in. That's what that pulled me into. I missed that. I missed the Predator days, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude.
What? How are you comparing Expendables to Predator?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. The idea that these weird and crazy things can happen.
Right.
Back in the day, this outlandish stuff.
Right.
Like for instance,
you need Commando. That's more of a Commando.
Okay, no,
Commando, no, Die Hard.
I'm going Commando. Commando.
Well, the difference between the Expendables movies and those movies is those movies
were made in the 80s.
Were trying to be serious.
I know.
And Expendables plays on the tropes of idea. Shitty
yes.
action.
Thank you.
Yes.
But they do it in a way so when people watch them, some people think that it's a really bad movie. They do.
Whew.
But people who grew up with that we know all these actors in these old movies were like, this is just recreating another movie back in that kind of genre in the day.
But it's also making fun of itself, though. It's not taking itself serious.
I hope it is.
Yeah, if it's not, then I totally missed it. I love it for the wrong reasons.
Me too. And I will never love it.
But that's the same reason I like this idea of Mel Gibson playing the bad guy. Not for the same reason that you are saying, because as far as being a bad guy,
doesn't mean he's bad. No, guy.
He's been in a bad spotlight recently, and I think that this is something like
the same thing happened to Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's why he was a bad guy in Expendables 2.
I haven't seen
he's been a
I
bad
should.
Guy, and also the good guy in the same exact movie.
Yeah. That's right.
No, but what I'm saying is Mel Gibson, he's played bad characters. So for him to play another bad character, I don't feel like it's a stretch. What it is a stretch, or what I find commendable about it, is that he is in so much public scrutiny for being a douchebag.
Now he's a douchebag.
He's now going to play the douchebag.
Yes.
So it's like, great.
Thank you very much.
That's like Justin Timberlake going on SNL and making fun of himself, making these ridiculous songs and shit.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. If you make fun of yourself, then you're okay in my book. I don't know about his whole comments on the Jew stuff, but I mean, that I respect him a lot more for playing a bad guy because everybody pretty much demonizes him in real life now.
Yeah.
Not because the role might be a stretch, but because he is that role in real life now, pretty much.
Maestro, what do you think?
Huh? I like the idea. I haven't seen a Mel Gibson movie in a while.
It's true.
I like Mel Gibson.
Edge of Darkness
movie.
Was his last one.
I saw that one.
The Beaver.
I saw it.
Oh, that's right. The Beaver.
That was interesting
as fuck.
Jodie Foster directed it.
Interesting. The Beaver?
So you got to watch that, dude.
What the hell is that about?
He talks to a doll that's a beaver. Yeah.
He has a psychotic breakdown.
Yeah. I'll pull up
the
picture.
You can't just
right
say
now.
It like that.
And the way he comes back to reality.
What's it about? He talks to a doll. It's a beaver.
It's a therapy. It's a therapy.
That's the synopsis. That's it?
It's amazing. I thought the movie was very well done. I like that. I like the Beaver.
I liked Edge of Darkness. Did you like it? Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was surprising.
It reminded me of like Mystic River. All those Boston movies are like, they remind me of each
He
other.
Had that accent. I was like, wow, this is really good.
And I was surprised too. And it was a good movie overall, actually. He kind of redeemed himself right there.
That looks photoshopped, but that's
real.
In the
movie. That is real.
That
actually happens. He talks to that doll.
What the?
It's a form of therapy.
And the doll's Irish, right? Or what is the doll?
Yeah.
So it's a sort of accent.
Yeah.
Australian, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's
his original accent that he had when he was in Mad Max.
I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Oh,
but anyway.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on it? Hollywood?
Him playing bad guys?
Yeah.
I like when guys who normally play good guys play bad guys. Look at Leo and Django Unchained.
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, didn't see it.
Or Tom Cruise, he's only been a bad guy twice.
Collateral.
Collateral and Interview with the Vampire. Mm-hmm. He was a badass villain.
Right.
So I got chills when I like and Denzel. Change. Denzel's always a good guy, and then he played Alonzo in Training Day.
Yeah.
So I like seeing
more
guys
you're chilling my arms, dude.
Who are normally heroes switch it up a little.
Absolutely.
I agree with the whole notion that he's a bad guy in real life, so it's going to be awesome to see him
play that up.
Right.
Wasn't he also in Tropic Thunder? Tom Cruise, bad guy?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the guy who represents Wilms. He's supposed to be Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Weinstein.
He's supposed to be Harvey Weinstein. Like a very...
And what's his name in the movie? Is it Les something?
Les Grossman.
Ah, okay.
A what?
Les Grossman.
Makes sense.
Grossman?
Grossman.
Gross.
Jewish name.
Money. Gross. Get it?
Grossman.
Also, I assume Les Moonves is also a big head of water...
Department of Electric Power?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. That's all I got.
One more news topic I want to get into. You know how Hollywood loves adapting comic book movies?
Yeah.
Comic books into movies?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the newest property...
Highlander.
...has been signed.
Star Wars.
Highlander?
No.
Star Wars?
Archie, as in Archie Comics, is getting a big screen adaptation. It was rumored that it was going to be them fighting zombies in Riverdale.
Oh, I totally
but
see that.
It's not. It's a coming-of-age story of Archie and Jughead and Betty and Veronica.
So it's just going to be about drama.
What are your thoughts of a live-action adaptation? Archie hasn't been popular since like the 60s. Why the fuck would you make this?
I don't know.
Because
do kids even know what Archie is?
Someone's son was an intern, and he threw out the idea, and his dad worked there.
Do kids know today what Archie is?
No.
I'm not even sure what an Archie is.
They don't even know what Bazooka Bubblegum is.
I know. What? Isn't that also Archie thing? Is Bazooka was on Archie Comics?
Bazooka Joe?
Bazooka Joe? Comics?
No, I think
they coincide that the type of art that actually goes with the one.
It coincides with the same time.
That's the whole idea though. It's like Archie's, that wasn't Reader's Digest, but it was forever in like these small comics that you pick up at the side of the marketplace.
Yeah.
And now people just walk by and they're like, Archie, what is that? It sounds like a fucking burger from Wendy's.
You know, yeah. See, when I said Jughead, that's my only reference to know what Archie actually
Jughead?
Is.
Jughead? Really?
I know Archie and Jughead. I know that's it.
Veronica
Otherwise,
and Betty?
I think about the group named the Archies that did that Sugar Sugar song and the older song.
Sugar,
like,
sugar, da 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 da. Oh, honey, da 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 da.
We're all singing different parts
yep,
of the song.
Yep, you
like
sure
that.
Are.
But we know what we're talking about, though.
No, we don't.
I don't know if that's the actual...
I made that up.
That Archies, that was a band. It was very much like... A big time rush is nowadays. Nickelodeon kind of created them, and it used to be a reality TV show based on the Archies, and then they became
the
an actual band. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, thank you.
Shit, see, I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't know anything about Archie. Anything
is Hollywood that dry?
Yes.
Where they
yes,
kind of jump
is,
into Archie?
Dude.
What's next? The fucking
my I'm, guess no, no. about it is this. Next? My guess about it is this: the writing and everything that has been so well, from what I can tell. A lot of the movies that really did really well and had really different original scripts disappeared after the writer's strike. I'm thinking a lot of people that actually had a lot of the talent when it comes to writing for movies disappeared and went to something else because of that writer's strike.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Actually, the writer's strike affected TV writers more than movie writers.
Because, I believe it. Yeah.
Because a studio has stockpiled hundreds of scripts, hundreds of spec scripts. So it only affected TV because you had to get a new script every week.
Right. Yeah.
So movies are long term. So you can have a thing.
I'm understanding about this, but the whole point. Okay. But how do people make like a residual amount of income over scripts? They keep on writing.
That's true. They get bought out as it becomes an option or something, and then
essentially. Your spec script gets bought, and we can do whatever the fuck we want with it. Your hero's a woman.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it a man. You end it where the hero dies. He's going to live. We're going to do whatever the fuck we want. It's our property now. It's our intellectual property.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's my vision. I don't give a fuck. We're paying for it. We're releasing it. Yeah. We're taking all the risk. So you get your little 1%.
You sold your vision.
A script is 1% of the total budget.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So a fucking $200
million
dollar movie, the writers get 1%.
That's not bad. That's not $25 million.
No.
No.
20. No. What the...
$200 million movie?
$250 million movie?
That's $250 million.
Yeah.
$25 million.
Oh, I said. Oh,
wait, did I say 200 or 250?
250.
2.5 million.
2.5 million?
Yeah, because 10% of
25,000.
No. 1%. No. 10% of 250 million is 25 million, and then 1% of that is 2.5 million.
10% or 1%?
1% of 250 billion is 2.5 million.
Yes.
So the writer gets $2.5 million.
Did you say 250 billion?
Million.
No, we're talking about the production cost, not what actually comes in, right?
Yeah. So, well, you know, so if it's projected, this movie's going to cost $250 million.
So the writer of Over the Top, $25 million is what it cost. He got
$25,000.
He got
$250,000. Yeah. And back in the day, he was like, I'm retiring.
That's it's supposed to be. Producers still lowball. They still try to lowball them as much as possible. But on average, it's a 1% deal. But the trick is,
that's outrageous.
We're going to pay you
movies like Iron Man
20% up front, and then you get the rest later.
Okay.
Depending on how, you know, box office goes. So, yeah, they kind of fuck you over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shocking. Movie industry fucks you over?
What?
No way.
It's okay.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. Final thoughts on Over the Top? Anything you want to say before we just wrap
I think we
it up?
Drag this out a little bit. I'm sorry.
Got too excited.
I have to, thank you. I was going to say, I think Adam came into the show with his fucking checklist and his phone.
I was watching it. I was just every 5 minutes. In fact, I deleted a bunch of my notes. I deleted
just
a bunch of them.
Get out of here.
Yes, because I realized.
You had more?
I did have more. I remember them now because I'm so fired up. But I had comments about almost every fucking scene. Oh, man. I love this.
Just fireball hate. Like the movie. I did.
Nostalgia is a very...
It's a nostalgic thing.
Habitual thing.
It's a very, very powerful thing. It makes you realize...
It is, but at the same time,
you overlook... Well, dude, not Adam. You don't overlook how shitty he is.
The kid cries a lot. And I get the point that it's trying to convey like emotion to the kid, and he's growing up and he's in his dad. He's like, oh, he's learning. But I'm like, dude, military academy.
The kid was a worse actor than Stallone was.
Okay, so you think he was the Anakin in episode 1?
And 2.
And 3.
And 3.
And 3.
He was actually Anakin. Different actors in 1 and 2.
No, in 3 you actually had like acting lessons.
Yes,
and so
from 2 to 3, better. Yes. Yeah. But no, the kid seemed like... The kid had some emotion to him.
He's not fine.
He's not as bad as Anakin in
Number 2,
one.
Yeah.
But he's a kid actor. Kid actors you have to take with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because they're kids.
Anakin, Dakota Fanning is amazing.
Anakin in episode 2 was horrible. Anakin in episode 1
bad.
Was a kid.
It was, no, Anakin in episode 1
was... a kid.
No, he was freaking mime. The dude, he was like... Yay, I won my
freedom. I'm gonna see all the stars.
Yeah,
I'm
like, who cares? I mean, it's a kid.
I hope Darth Maul killed him, dude. And it's just like, come on, like,
he was never there.
In the end.
All right. Sorry,
yeah. We're gonna have to wrap this up.
Yeah.
We'll get to episode 1 at a different point. This is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
I'm Adam.
Jester.
See ya.
Better. So sad. Phone in the morning, and I'm zoning. They say I'm possessed. It's an omen. I keep it 300, like the Romans. 300 bitches. We're the Trojans. Baby, we live it in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it, and you know it. Stop all that coon shit. Life. Early morning cartoon shit. Life. This is that goon shit. Fuck up your whole afternoon shit. I'm a